grace, his mercy, and his peace be yours from our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Apostle writes, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4, verse 13. Brethren in Christ, a pastor, elderly, and up in here, said, if I had my ministry to live over again, I would preach more comforting sermons. And that is sage counsel for any man's pulpit, even this one at Concordia Seminary. We are these days men occupied with the deep things of God. We carry so much in our minds and in our heads, especially at the close of the quarter, it seems that we veritably have a headache. And with the collection of all the theological data and knowledge that we accumulate in an institution of learning like this, some of our heads, I dare say, swell beyond their normal half size. How does a man walk about so top heavy, especially when close to the earth? He is carried by feet of clay. It's sobering for the head to remember the feet. Look down. They are just feet like anyone else. Feet of common clay. Feet of human vulnerability and frailty. The Apostle St. Paul had no illusions about his feet. They were clay. He was a man. And he was fragile enough, imprisoned the latter days of his life, to be overwhelmed at times by loneliness and anxiety and the diminishment of hunger and poverty. And if a man like Paul and his ministry end at Rome, how does such a man say, I can do all things I can do? It is easy to have that kind of confidence within the closed walls of a community like this. It is easy in our discussions with friends to be very brave about the mandates of the Christian gospel and the mission that we face. It is easy to say, here, I am up for all things. But can we say it out there? Dr. Price, the president of our synod, just returned from several weeks in Europe, and he reports that Lutheran pastors from West Germany have volunteered to go over into the East at great cost to themselves and their families, because their Lutheran Christians need to be served with the gospel. And one pastor's daughter, a bright young 14-year-old girl, a faces the choice in the East of joining the Marxist youth movement or forfeiting all privileges of higher education consigned to the role of a domestic. I can do all things for such. Sometimes means I must endure all things for such. And the prospect of saying that against the odds, tremendous odds, has kept not a few men out of the ministry, and it has diminished the productivity of more than a few men in the ministry. They said, I can't, and they were right. They were gifted, talented, and competent, still insufficient and inadequate when put to the test. But Paul did not say, I can't. He said, I can do all things. What kind of man was he? Some kind of spiritual child atlas of a sort? Is he sporting some self-help formula to get by the rough spot? 5 easy steps to become an invincible Christian? Why, no, the apostle has quite a different answer to the anxiety and the pain and the cost of discipleship as it befalls every earnest man in the ministry. simply, directly put, strengthened by Christ, I can do all things. And mind you, gentlemen, that strength came not by some vague self-awareness of Christ, as if one only needs to rely on his own self-perception of the Lord. A strength was certainly not some self-help process. Christ Jesus strengthening the apostle could only mean the power of the gospel, which he knew and believed so intensely. How was Christ strong to Paul? Why, he testifies so clearly in this letter to Philippians, chapter 2 and chapter 3. He counted everything lost for Christ, for the surpassing work of knowing Christ Jesus. Paul, a man discarding his own self-righteousness, whose faith in Christ, who was obedient unto death on the cross. And Paul claimed also the power of his Lord and his resurrection. That was the strength of the gospel, which was Paul's strength and fortitude and backbone against tremendous odds. Christ had demonstrated a strength to Paul incomparable in all the world. It was not Paul's possibility thinking that carried him, but it was our Lord's great possibility doing which fortified and strengthened the apostle. You know how it is, men, with our sins. A God alone maintains the initiative of possibility there. The most cultured and the most trained specimen of self-confidence is torn to shreds under the law by which is the knowledge of sin and weakness and forfeiting the blessing on top of God. But in this very condition, quite impossible, while we are yet sinners, Christ strengthened by the peace made through his blood and righteousness. The Lord is with us wherever we go in our ministry. But mind you, gentlemen, the Lord is not with us in all our labors and against all our odds by some vague mystical companionship. The strength which raises men to new heights in the face of defeat and despair is none other than the power of the cross at Calvary. The gospel of Christ for me as a sinner is the help and the strength to endure and to survive and to live. In whatsoever state I find myself, joyful, content, and victorious. That, brethren, is the comfort which we are called to share with other men, who with us face the, quote, impossible, end of quote, in life. So go, preach more comforting sermons. What does that mean? It means to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of him who accomplished the impossible of our redemption. And by that gospel of Christ, we have all things, we can do all things, and we can face all things. And with that sufficiency in Christ, even feet made of clay may march off the mat, wearing and carrying head, bearing crown of everlasting life. Christ strengthen you and me. Amen. The peace of our God that surpasses our hearts, surpasses all of our wisdom and knowledge, keep your hearts and minds to Christ Jesus. Amen.
This is Tuesday, November 14th, 1978, and the preacher for this communion service is Professor Eichmann.
Verses 1 through 13. And as Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look and see what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And Right, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple. Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign when these things are all to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "Take heed that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the earthquakes. But take heed to yourselves, for they will deliver you up to council, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings in my place to bear testimony before them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations.